Welcome to the Stuffed Fabulist On Air, audio commentaries by Jeffrey Grossons from the website www.stuffedfabulous.com. These commentaries present an independent point of view in the form of original fables and parables on psychological, social, political, spiritual, and philosophical questions of today. The ultimate moral or lesson of each tale is left to the listener to decide. Rumors that exhibitionist postings on websites like MySpace, Facebook, YouTube, and elsewhere in the egosphere will soon merge into the megasite narcissism.everywhere could leave one wondering how those without internet access will manage any longer to call attention to themselves. The following tale may show, however, some truth still remains in the old adage that where there's a will, there's a way. The Porcupine. Once a porcupine went in for body piercing in a big way. With tattoos becoming so common, they might as well be just another fashion fad, and even prison tats and sports ink now looking like kinko copies run off by the thousands. Piercing, or better still, full body mutilation, struck the porcupine as the only way left to show you could boast true individuality. You had to put the boldness of your spirit on exhibition, wear the scars of your inner self like a badge of honor if you expected to command respect among your peers anymore, and a secret envy in all those who wanted to be just like you when they grew up. Its own inner porcupine was not the comical, rotund figure the general public thought they saw. No, deep within this plump body was an awesome spirit straining to express itself. In a world where nothing short of extreme experience was taken seriously as real life anymore, the porcupine meant to show all those who believed a 3-pound nose ring or even multiple tongue chains equaled a walk on the wild side that entire continents of unimagined body image remained to be explored. It meant to show these pikers what real piercing was, and it meant to do that by taking the gutsy step of turning its quills unflinchingly on itself. Carrying out the plan was easier said than done, however. Simply mutilating yourself willy-nilly or in haste would not do. Each quill must find its destined spot in a pattern of inspired bravura. Then there was the difficulty of actually bending the stiff spines backwards and inwards. After many failed attempts, the porcupine resorted to simply tearing quills out by the clump and driving them back into the aching flesh from which they'd just been ripped. The excruciating jolt to be felt as they penetrated its body, the sensation of almost passing out with the pain, of not passing out, then almost passing out again, gave the porcupine the hypnotic, pulsing sense it was really pushing the limits of awesome self-expression. Unfortunately, this exhilaration didn't last. The porcupine found it needed to twist the quills in deeper and deeper, seeking greater and greater torment to feel confident it would command all the respect and secret envy due such a heroic performance. Ultimately, all of the porcupine's quills had to be used in this striving to reveal the depths of its true self, down to the last one. When it had finished, there it stood, a bristling, twitching mass so covered with spiny excess and open wounds, it was impossible to tell exactly what it might be. "Looks like roadkill," was the most frequent reaction. The raw lump might be heard to groan. "How can they miss my awesome spirit on display?" More fables and parables like the one you've just heard are available for reading, downloading, and forwarding at www.stuffedfabulous.com. bound collections of tales in the series Likely Stories, Contemporary Fables and Parables, and audio CD collections of selected tales can also be ordered through bookstores or directly through the orders page of the website.